put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For you're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. We're happy to welcome this morning Professor Harvey Johnson.
Am I on?
Come on.
Some years back, I had the privilege of retreating in a monastery in Trappist, Kentucky. This monastery is seated on 300 acres of virgin forest. And on one of the mornings during that retreat, I decided to go out for a walk. As I was walking, the trees verged into a clearing. And in that clearing, there was a ray of sun, the sun, coming straight down. And that ray beam of sun was hitting a bronze statue that was entitled The Flight to Egypt. At the base of that statue, there was a plaque. And the plaque said, "In memory of Viola Leuzzo." Needless to say, for me, that was overwhelming. And I fell on my knees and I worshiped God. What was so clear to me in that moment was that the dedication of that bronze statue to this woman, a woman that sought to deal with racial justice, was so befitting. I want to give you a subtopic for what I want to share with you this morning. Serving justice, the call of commitment to the higher purpose. And in the remarks that I want to make, I want to focus on commitment and the higher purpose. Viola Leuzzo, for those of you who do not know, was a mother and housewife from Italian ancestry that traveled to Selma, Alabama during the march from Selma to Montgomery, one of the major marches during the civil rights movement. And she was there to serve. She brought her car and she was moving people from one point to another. It was during her trying to be of service that she was brutally murdered by the Ku Klux Klan. The question, what is it that took, that moved, that motivated this woman and hundreds of others, blacks and whites, to face danger and go into the South during the civil rights movement? What was it? How did the commitment, the purpose come about in these that knew, many of them knew, that they were going right into the face of danger? What is evident in the occasion and the message that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. brought before thousands in the August of 1963, that it was an appeal of justice being made by God. Dr. King was a very focused man. He was focused out of his commitment to God. He was focused out of his call to ministry, to people. Dr. King was a man with a mission. And he knew, because of his commitment to God, that that mission had to be driven, created, and shaped by God Himself. And so, he called upon God for direction, for guidance. And the Lord took him into the book, into Scripture, where Scripture says that we are not to retaliate force with force, but we are to extend with love and nonviolence. And so that became the capstone and the key of much of what was a part of the civil rights movement and the involvement of people. One of the things that is very clear for those of us that were a part of all of that that was going on was you could not stand on the sidelines. You could not stand and look and be a part of what was going on. What was needed, if you felt there was injustice, if you felt that there was a problem, what was needed was your involvement. I knew I had to be involved. I didn't know Jesus at that point, but I knew I had to be involved. I knew that there was things that were going on that were not right. I knew that there was a problem, and the Holy Spirit had placed within me a question. Lord, why are people always at each other's throats? I wanted an answer. And I knew that I had to get involved. And so I did. That involvement demanded that I go beyond my cultural perimeters. I had to go outside of being an African American. I had to interact with people of other cultures, of other backgrounds, and not on a casual basis. I had to get to know. I had to get to understand. You see, it's very clear in the mission that Dr. King was dealing with a higher purpose. It was a purpose that was a connection for people of all backgrounds, of all colors, of all races. That was the capstone and key of what Dr. King and his mission was all about. And I knew, despite the fact that I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I knew that this man was from God. I knew he was from God, and I knew that his mission was a noble mission. And so I became involved. This morning, I want to, however, go to the root, as God has always, in my life, in my relationship with Him, taken me to the root of the matter. I want to go to the root of the movement for social and human justice. In doing that, I want to look at another person who broke ethnic barriers to impact the life of another person, and in turn, that life impacted the lives of many others. In the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, the account tells of Jesus, while stopping in a city in Samaria, encounters a Samaritan woman. Now, I don't have time to go into the tremendous depth of understanding that this portion of Scripture gives to us, but I want to deal with the significance of what Jesus was doing. You see, the Jews at that time had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a mixed people. And the Jews felt that the covenant was only to them. And they had no dealings with the Samaritans. As the scripture says, if a Samaritan was coming this way, I would go on the other side and around. Jesus first broke that barrier, and then on top of it, it was very unseemly for a man to interact with a woman. That was not a part of the tradition. It was unseemly. It was out of order. And here is Jesus breaking barriers because he knew the higher purpose. He knew the call of God. Interestingly enough, that encounter took that woman to the very basis of her existence, because Jesus spoke life into her and he dealt with her in terms of her spiritual needs and existence. She was overwhelmed. She was amazed. She was blown away because she left that place and went into the town and said, "Come see a man who told me everything I need to know." And that in turn provoked others to come and hear the mission and purpose of Jesus. The higher purpose in breaking those barriers, in making those connections, was to deal with the spiritual needs of that woman. You see, Scripture says God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And he seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to read to you a scripture that is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In the NIV, it says in the 18th verse, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation. To restore. To bring back to the original purpose. That is the ministry that God established through Christ to us, and that God has called us to establish in the earth. To restore. To restore to what? To restore to the purposes that God has for his kingdom. To restore people to the wholeness that God has. And I believe that that calling on my life comes directly through my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am so convinced that I cannot stand up. I cannot stand up to the needs of others, both in my culture and outside of my culture. I cannot stand up to the spiritual needs of people that will bring them into a wholeness, body, soul, and spirit, that will connect them to the kingdom of God, that will make them profitable to the purpose of God. I cannot stand up to that without a viable, vibrant, relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I have pursued that in my life. I have made that my primary purpose. I have made that my going down to sleep and my rising up to live. And it is out of that relationship that I have come to see the great love of God for His people. The need, the very deep need, that is to restore and bring back to wholeness. Now, I want to read to you a scripture that is found in Philippians, because it speaks of the Apostle Paul, this mighty man of God, who spoke in depth of the purposes of God. What was his purpose? What was his desire? In the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. Those weren't just words. Those weren't just an intellectual endeavor. Those weren't just an educational pursuit. Those words were from the very heart and spirit of a man who wanted to walk in relationship with Jesus Christ and to know him for why he chose to give his very life's blood that people might live. Those words speak of relationship. They speak of the image of Christ coming through and people seeing that and being convicted and being brought to the foot of the cross. And so I am convinced that it is out of my relationship with Jesus that I will be able to bring to people wholeness in body, soul, and spirit. That relationship in my life has produced an identification with him. It has produced a commitment to his will. Not only to his will, but to his way. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, for as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. And then Paul makes the very dynamic statement, but we have the mind of Christ. And you know what that says to me? It says that I can know and understand God's thoughts toward us, that I can be a part of his ways for us, that I can be an instrument to break down barriers, to draw people, to connect people, to make people see that the final, where the rubber meets the road, is the love of God. This is my 16th year at Geneva College, and I want to share with you what happened to me in my first few years here. When I got the call to come in for the interview for this position, God said to me, this is the next step in your life. And I knew before the interview that God was going to open the door. My immediate question as I began to move in this community to God was, Lord, why am I here? Lord, why am I here? You see, I knew that it was more than just teaching theater, teaching communications. I knew it was more. I knew that the purpose of God in my life was more than just to educate. And so I asked God, why am I here, Lord? After a year, as I was looking around and as I was involved in this community, I became frustrated I saw so many people that were naming the name of Christ, but down to write my resignation. And God said to me, but I put you here. And I put the pen down. I kept asking God, Lord, why am I here? One of the things that God revealed to me was that I had a prejudice. I didn't think I had a prejudice, but I had a prejudice. And my prejudice was against white, middle-class, upper-class evangelicals. God showed it to me, and it was real. He said, the problem is yours. You're the problem. And I did what I've always done when God has brought me to places that in my own strength I could not move past. I surrendered it to Him. God said to me, I love them. I love them. And I surrendered it to Him. And He changed me. He changed me. He changed me to the point that there are those in my tenure here at Geneva College that have come into my office that have poured out their hearts beyond their educational pursuits. And we've connected with the Spirit of God. And we've prayed. And we've sought God together. I've stood in my class. And I've seen those whom the Holy Spirit was working on. And God, in His providence, would make the connection. And I would take to them the message that you are loved. There's purpose for your life. What does it mean in your education and your relationship to God? What does that mean? And we've dialogued and we've prayed and God has answered. I want to close my remarks this morning with what is clear to me is the very heart of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His mission, his purpose. And it's taken from the speech that was delivered in front of the Lincoln Memorial that is entitled, I Have a Dream. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the calling that you placed upon our lives. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing to make us aware of the high purpose that is in our lives. We thank you for men like Dr. Martin Luther King, who broke barriers, who stood up to the status quo, and who suffered for your sake. Lord God, continue to deal with us on the mission, the purpose that you have for our lives in the earth. And Lord, make us worthy of the vocation for which we are called. Help us to understand and see, Lord Jesus, that it is out of our relationship with you, out of our growing in love with you and in depth with you, Lord Jesus, that we will be able to see. And that you, Lord God, can use us to further your purposes in the earth. We love you, Father. We love you. And we continue to pursue your will and your way. We ask these things in the name of your precious and dear Son. Amen.